We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to another episode of Old Heads. It's been a minute because Flex has been ghosting me for like a month. I don't know where he's been, but he's here now. What up, man?
What's up, dog?
Where you been?
Traveling the world.
Well, yeah. Hey, man, you know, obviously, since you've been back, we've done some things.
Yeah.
You know, listen, the Suns finished off the season on a high note, winning their last three games of a brutal 10-game stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to be satisfied to some degree about the outlook of the playoffs, which begin with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I know we have some thoughts about what this team presents in terms of problems and no resistance for the Suns. So initially, off the top, what are your initial thoughts on the Timberwolves?
I love the matchup. I love the matchup. You know, I was looking at this the other day. I think the Suns' fatal flaw this year was in the offseason they built this team to counteract the Denver Nuggets. That's my belief, at least. They went all in and said, that's the team we got to get over, so we're going to build this team that way. It's good if you're playing the Denver Nuggets, but it's not good if you're playing a guard-orientated team, and that's the flaws we've had in the regular season. The irony is that Minnesota's built very similar. They're very front-court-orientated, and so this is a fantastic matchup for the Suns because I just don't know where Karl Towns, Rudy Gobert, and Naz Reid fit into this series without being a detriment to Minnesota with all the firepower the Suns have. So I feel fantastic about how it ended up. We needed a little bit of help from the Lakers, and we got lucky. But yeah, to go through what we went through, Saul, with this roller coaster regular season, and to end the way it ended, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but we got there to the sixth seed, which is ultimately the goal. After about the first 3 or 4 months, you're like, okay, let's stop worrying about a top three seed. Let's just make sure we get a top six seed.
Yeah.
And even at various points, it was like as the season went along, you just were like, you were in almost a state of disbelief in terms of like the potential of this team and where they were actually going.
Yeah.
And now you're finding yourself in a position where you're feeling better than you did a week ago. You're feeling pretty good about the, you know, the outlook of the postseason. And now you're facing a team that you've manhandled through three games this season. Average margin of victory is 14.7 points, which doesn't even do it justice because the second Timberwolves game at home, they were up by like 30. And then the fourth quarter, They cut the lead down to, I think it was like maybe 12 or 10 or something like that. But they've never been within double digits. They've never been within single digits in any second half of any of these games. And I think the thing that really separates the Suns from the Timberwolves is the Suns' backcourt with, and I put KD in that backcourt, even though he's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
Their trio is better than the front court of the Timberwolves by a mile. Mm-hmm. And I think that's ultimately what the separator is in this series.
Hey, you nailed it. Listen, first game, and we were at that game. The first game, go back and look at the film. The Suns were winning that game by 30.
yeah.
They had some garbage time minutes. The end result ends up being an 18-point win. That's where the margin of victory kind of gets dipped a little bit. The second game was the same thing. We're at the watch party. Suns are winning that game plus 20 the whole game. They put the garbage minutes and we get it down to 10. Last night, we won by 19. I mean, simple math. That's a plus 47, okay, over three games. Your average margin of victory is almost 15 points. And to your point, it should have been significantly higher. There's nothing about this Minnesota team. And again, we're going to play the series. I don't want people to get overconfident. That Minnesota team, they're scrappy, they're tough. But there's nothing. I'm struggling as someone, if I'm looking at it from Minnesota's perspective, I'm taking the Phoenix Sun portion out of it. You play ball. I'm sitting here and I'm saying, if me and you with Minnesota's personnel had to coach the Suns team, how do we get Minnesota to win this series?
Oh, you mean if we were coaching
if
Minnesota?
If we were Minnesota. If our job
trying to beat this Suns
yes,
team?
Yes, if our job, how do
oh,
we do
man.
It?
You know,
go ahead.
I think there's only two things you can hope for in this series if you're Minnesota. A, Ant plays like Ant.
Yeah.
And he's given you his normal average of 27, 28 points a game.
Yeah.
Which he did not do.
No.
He didn't even get half of that against the Suns this season.
No.
And you need Karl Anthony Towns to ball out of his mind.
Yeah.
And coming off that meniscus surgery and, you know, his track record in the playoffs isn't all that great either.
No.
I just don't see a scenario where the Timberwolves, and I'm not even trying to be a homer about this. I just feel like the matchup is just really, really bad for Minnesota. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I know a lot of people are going to pick the Suns, but I think a lot of people are going to hedge their bets and say six games. I'm struggling to see a scenario where it's not going to go four or five and that's it. You know, I believe if Minnesota has a chance, they might be able to pull one of the two in Minnesota to start. But I can't see it.
Yeah.
I can't see it right now. I just think the matchups for the Suns are just too glaringly obvious that they can take advantage of against this Timberwolves team. It was just every percentage metric that the Timberwolves have that points to them being the best defensive team in the league, number-wise, and they were, drops against the Suns.
Yes.
And even on the offensive side of the ball, I think they shot something like 35% on the season from three. When they played the Suns, that drops down to 27%.
Correct.
Like, everything works against the Minnesota Timberwolves in this regard. And so if you're a believer, and, you know, the whole reason why we're doing this isn't even about the stats. It's about what we see. And it just looks like a team, Ant specifically, does not look right against the Suns.
No.
He doesn't give me that same juice that he has been giving everybody else in the league.
Yep.
It got it for a split second yesterday when he got the and one and Bradley Beal was standing over him and he got in his face and then Beal pushed him away. That was the only time I really saw like, oh, that's the trash talking Ant that we've seen all over.
Yeah.
Outside of that, that's the only thing that I could really point to and be like, oh, that's the thing that Ant did.
Right.
All three games, almost no factor at all.
Well, I think a big part of that is, one, you're throwing a whole bunch of different people at him. He's getting a lot of different looks. He's got to work harder on offense. And then defensively, he's got to work harder. It's a dynamic setup the way the Suns are matched up against him. But let's go a little deeper into this. The Timberwolves are in the 20th, somewhere around the 20th to 22nd ranked offense, right? But they're number one in defense. So the entire season, they've been living on, if we can get a quick lead and then let our defense dictate the game, that's how they win. They can't play from behind, Saul.
No.
They cannot play from behind. They're that football team that's got a great defense. And if they get ahead early, you're in trouble. But if they go down early, they just can't fight their way in the games. They don't have enough three-point shooting. They don't have enough perimeter scoring. And so if I'm a coach and I'm saying, I'm running the Timberwolves, I got to beat the Suns. Ironically, brother, the only option I got is to go small. I got to get Naz Reid out the game. I got to get Rudy Gobert out the game. I got to sometimes get Carl out the game.
But who do you put in their
That's
place?
That's the problem. They don't have the personnel, dog.
You know who they are.
Tell me.
In a different kind of way.
The Memphis Grizzlies?
No.
No, Utah Jazz?
No. In a different kind of way, they're us from last year. Got nobody else they can depend on that can shoot a three. They can't create their own shot.
Okay.
Basically, they got to rely on two guys offensively, Cat and Towns. Last year, we had two guys offensively that we could only rely on, and KD and Book.
That's right.
And,
that's
you know,
fair
it's
point.
Funny that we ended our season last year, not being able to rely on anybody else besides those two because Chris Paul was injured and out. Yeah. And now we fast forward to this year, and we start off with a team that was in our position from last year. One of the best records in the league. They just, all these metrics that were going in their favor, and they just happened to face the one team that was their kryptonite all year.
This team reminds me of the Utah Jazz when they had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy. Great regular seasons, but in the playoffs, teams will play Rudy off the court. And Donovan couldn't be Donovan. Regular season dynamics come into this, man. This is why we talk about the regular season all the time. You know, you want to play well, you want to finish well, and you want to put yourself in a good spot. But there's a lot of dynamics in the regular season that aren't accounted for that don't have much value in the playoffs. In the regular season, you're playing teams on back-to-backs. You're playing teams with injuries. You got many restrictions on your team. You're dealing with rotations, with coaches trying to figure things out. In the playoffs, man, you're playing the top 7-8 dudes. Mm-hmm. And the talent's going to outweigh the other talent in most cases. I think this is how I simplify this. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are a regular season basketball team. I think the Phoenix Suns are a playoff basketball team. Mm-hmm. I think the Suns are not built for the regular season, but you're going to see the best version of them in the playoffs. And that's bad for Minnesota, man. If I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, I'm sick this morning. It's probably the toughest draw you can get. You haven't beat this team. You haven't come close to beating this team. And now you got to figure out a way to do it over a 7-game series. Not once, not twice, not three, but 4 times. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't want to get too cocky or bold, but I think this is a series that I would not be shocked if the Suns wrap them up in 5.
Yeah, I don't see it. Now, if we're gonna give Minnesota credit and give them a glimmer of hope, I would say this: the playoffs are a different animal.
Yeah,
things tend to slow down a little bit more in the playoffs, and the physicality goes up another notch in the playoffs, which does give Minnesota more of a chance, right? Mm-hmm. If you muck up the game, you play physical, you're aggressive with the Suns team. We have seen that they do not adjust very well to the physicality, right? And so that's your only hope in this series is you just get physical, you try to be, you're more aggressive than they are, and you go from there. But if they can't do that, you know, as you said, if they have to play from behind, that's just not a good scenario. So we'll wrap it up with this. You said you think the Timberwolves the Suns will beat the Timberwolves in 5.
Yeah.
I tend to agree, and I think that one game is just a courtesy, respectful one game. I'm not going to say that they're going to sweep them because, you know, Lord knows I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if that did happen.
I'm with you.
Well, that's another episode of Old Heads. We appreciate you all for following us along. Make sure you follow my man Flex at Jersey. You can follow me at Saul_Bookman, and you can follow the show at PHNX_Suns. Until next time, peace.
Peace.